You maybe didn't think I'd make it through all those names. But Matthew does start his gospel in a strange way with a list of Jesus' descendants. It tells an important story, this list, as we will find. It's maybe not the Christmas story that you would expect, probably not going to make the gospel on Christmas Eve anytime soon, but it does tell the coming of Christ in a fascinating way and the promise of God fulfilled. Now, my kids are usually pretty forgiving of me, their father, when they ask me to play and I am not able to, or I don't think I'm able to. How many requests are there in a day? Well, thankfully, I can say that there are usually many requests. Papa, can you chase us around the house is a popular one. Or Papa, can you be the tunnel monster now? And you might wonder what the tunnel monster is, and you can come to our basement and find out how scary the tunnel monster is. Or Dad, can you play sword fighting with us? And it sounds maybe like most of these requests have to do with chasing or wrestling or fighting. And many of them do, but there are others. Papa, can you read this book with me? Or Papa, I'm thirsty. Or Papa, can we go into the garage and work? Or recently, Papa, when are you going to show us the picture of you with long hair? Believe it or not, this thinning head of hair, it was once full and long down the back. And when I finally dragged out the old photos as proof to my suspicious children, they just laughed at me. Yet, with some requests, I'm not able to do what is asked of me. I may be on the phone, maybe working on a project around the house, or just plain worn out. So I will answer, I cannot chase you now, but I will after I finish this. Or, let's do it later. Now I admit that I sometimes feel some guilt in giving such a response, wasting such an opportunity, a request that I know won't always be there. Yet life and the vocations we're called into are a balancing act, and none of them are accomplished perfectly. So as Christians, we are called to attend to the requests made of us with full hearts, servants of all, whether they be requests made by our children or our parents or any of our neighbors. Yet in faith, we also learn this. We learn to find our peace and identity in the promise of Christ alone. In this way, as Luther would say, we are both servants of all and free lords of all. Yet what is the worth of a promise made from a father to a child? I suppose any promise is worth only the integrity of the one who makes it, the track record of the one who gives it. Such a truth comes back to sting me, both as a son and a father, from time to time, for I do not have a perfect track record in keeping my promises, nor in receiving them. But I know one who does. I know one who has a perfect record, and that is God the Father, our Lord. So when God the Father said to David in Psalm 132, "One of your sons, the sons of your own body, I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant, their sons also forevermore shall sit on your throne." When God gave this promise to David, what did he think? Did he wonder, which of my sons will be king? Did he wonder if there would be tension between the sons as to who would sit on the throne and who would sit on the bench, on the sideline? Did he know that Solomon, his son with Bathsheba, would be the last king of a politically united Israel? Or, did he have any idea that there would be a much greater king of a much greater kingdom than Israel or Judah who would come and sit there forever? Whether David knew it or not, that is what would happen. And the coming of Christ would not depend on David's son keeping God's covenant, for they did not keep it, and nor have we. But I can tell you this today, on the 12th day of Christmas, Merry Christmas, for Jesus has come. And because of that, I can tell you that this one Father, this God, who has a perfect promise-keeping record, gives the promise not only to David, but to you. And the culmination of this promise is that you, who have not kept all of your promises, are forgiven of your sins. You, who have not had promises made to you always kept either, you are made perfect now, apart from all that which you have done and left undone. In Christ you are made whole. Amen. And so here on the 12th day of Christmas is our true treasure, and I want you to treasure this today, one that is encapsulated in an unusual gospel reading, the genealogy of Jesus at the beginning of Matthew. And without going through every name on this list again, I can tell you that such a list is important because familial lines are important in Judaism, especially with DNA technology advancements. We, in our culture, have a swell of interest as well in our backgrounds with services like 23andMe and others, which will tell you where you came from, which may surprise you as to what your family lines reveal. Many of us want to know our true background, for there maybe we will be able to find our true identity. But even more important for Jews was the ability to chart how they belonged to the 12 tribes, how they fit into the story of God who saved them. And more important yet for Matthew now was to tell how the Savior, Jesus Christ, fits into all of this. And in this seemingly mundane list of names, half of which are probably quite unfamiliar, we find an exciting tapestry of the story of God giving his promise to an imperfect people through some very surprising circumstances. Matthew starts out by describing his gospel as the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Why is this important? Well, because God gives some pretty big promises to David and Abraham. To Abraham, God said that he would be a blessing through his descendants. His descendants would be more numerous than the stars in the sky. And he would be a blessing to the whole world. Quite a promise for an 80-year-old who had no kids yet. And to that rascal King David, he promised his lineage would be on the throne forever. And I ask you this, if you know your world history, has any family lineage been on the throne forever? No, it's never happened, except one. Matthew starts out his gospel loudly and clearly by saying that Jesus is the long-awaited fulfillment of these promises. And then he starts to list a number of other rascals in the Old Testament, perhaps a dubious start for Jesus' family line. Abraham, who while he finally did trust God, tried some other ways, including trying to have a child with his wife's servant to make this promise happen when he got a little nervous. Or Isaac, who was almost sacrificed on the mount before the story could continue. Or Jacob, who wrestled with God until he got his way, but also walked away with a permanent limp. Or Joseph, who was so taken with himself and his jacket that his brothers sold him into slavery before he became a great ruler in Egypt. Or his father, who fooled and lied to his dad and his brother in order to get a greater inheritance. None of these first few names are a perfect picture of faith or in keeping their word. Yet here they are, the pillars in the foundation of Jesus' family line. And strangely, there are a few women who are uncharacteristically named in this lineage as well. One maybe you don't remember, Tamar, Though I encourage you to read her story. Tomorrow, after not having children with her first two husbands, and after her father-in-law did not keep his word to marry her to another of his sons, covertly becomes pregnant with him and has twins, Perez and Zerah. Now that is not a family story normally publicly heralded, especially in the lineage of Christ, but what does it say of him? Or Rahab, a name you maybe do remember, who was not Jewish, by the way, but was an innkeeper and considered by many to be a prostitute in Jericho. She hid two Jewish spies as they came to check out the city before it was destroyed. She was spared and inexplicably makes it into this genealogy as the father of Boaz. Or Ruth, another Gentile woman who was a widower, following and taking care of her mother-in-law, Naomi. She finds her way into the life of Boaz, sitting at the foot of his bed. They are married and become the parents of who? Jesse, the father of King David. And then we hear of a woman not named by name, but given the title, the wife of Uriah. You know her as Bathsheba. David, of course, commits adultery with her and then kills her husband to try to cover it up. Not a great story. But out of this marriage would come Solomon, the next king. Among many sinners, and for their sake, emerges one finally at the end of this genealogy, thousands of years of families waiting, emerges one who is perfect at keeping promises. One who sent his son to you today. This genealogy may not sound like the perfect Christmas story, but it tells the story of the coming of your Savior. And in some ways, it tells the story of you. In a time of year when many make New Year's resolutions, know that God's promise to you in Christ does not depend on them. In a time when many may be looking to their DNA, to their past, to help tell them who they are, know that for you, now your identity is firmly held in the forgiveness of Christ. In a time when many promises are made, but not all are kept, know now that you have a God whose word is true, who sent his son for your sake, and whose promises are always kept. Praise be to God, and Merry Christmas.